to Spingola Speaks. Thanks for joining me today. This is Deanna Spingola coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. It is Friday, February 11th, and you are listening to RBN because you can handle the truth. Regarding truth, there is a lot of misinformation, particularly in the alternative truth media. Yesterday I said that a person, an author, a radio host, or a guest might present factual information 90% of the time. It is the 10% that you have to worry about. We cannot judge a person's intentions, whether the misinformation is unintentional or not, but we can often see the influence that the information has. Let me clarify something. Prescott Bush worked for a private bank, the Union Banking Corporation, that had private business dealings with private companies in Germany. That does not mean that the Bush family financed the rise of Adolf Hitler. When I first started writing articles in 2005, I probably promulgated that very popular theory because of my ignorance. I cringe when I read some of my early efforts. I could cleanse my own archives, but it would be like trying to capture feathers in a whirlwind, because my articles are on other websites. In fact, someone approached me this past week to see if she could quote some of the items from an article that I wrote back in 2005. I consented, then quickly read the article, and just as quickly withdrew my consent. People perpetuate false information, often unknowingly, because he, she is quoting or relying on somebody else's information. Often unknowingly, but that happens. For the last 2 years, I have spent about 15 to 16 hours a day doing heavy-duty research and have dug into the depths of the proverbial rabbit hole. Just because something is widely believed does not make it a fact. In doing research, one has to establish criteria, including but not limited to the following. Where did the information come from? Is it well-sourced? What is the background of the author? Is the person adamantly promoting a particular theory in an effort to conceal the real culprits? Is his or her book on the New York Times bestseller list? Now, people make that list not because their book is particularly popular and has sold a particular number of copies, but because the powers that be want to promote a certain theory contained within that book. Remember the 90-10 ratio. 90% truth does not make the questionable 10% factual. With that said, let me categorically state that the Bush family did not finance the rise of Adolf Hitler. We are going to be discussing this and other related topics in depth in future programs. Please consider ordering some RBN business cards and look at the other wonderful items in the RBN store. I often say that the RBN sponsors are essential to this network, and they are. However, there is another essential component to RBN's success. That is the listeners. And I want to thank you for listening to RBN and to this program. As you know, this program and the first hour of What Really Happened are available on shortwave at WWCR 13.8845. My website is spingola.com. My email is deanna@spingola.com. We'll be back with our guest after a word from our sponsors.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning, and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with Lays Med Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.laysmedinc.com on the web. That's www.laysemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Have you heard? Proactive is new and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With New Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-635-1053. Because we're going to let a million people try New Proactive risk-free. Get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try new and better than ever Proactive, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of the new Proactive, two free extras, and free shipping when you call 1-800-635-1053. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of new Proactive plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. This offer won't last long. Call 1-800-635-1053. That's 1-800-635-1053.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Welcome back, friends. My guest today is the one and only Clint Richardson, the producer and writer of The Corporation Nation. He has a couple of different websites, realityblogger.wordpress.com, blogger is with one G, and thecorporationnation.com. Clint, welcome to the program.
Hello, hello. Good to be here.
Thank you for coming on again. You're always a really good guest to have on, and we always have a lively conversation, and you always present so much really relevant information.
Well, yeah, you know, I feel like I'm always giving you bad news.
well, you know, that's kind of what we get all over. But you present it in such a pleasant way that it doesn't seem as bad. So
thanks. I think.
Okay, we hear on the mass media how the country is absolutely bankrupt, and that there's just you know, just a real bad problem here. We also have another guest. Walter, are you there? No? Okay.
Well, okay. I talked to Walter last night, and he said he may call in or he may not. So hopefully that's
him. Okay. Yeah, they sent me a little message. Okay, Walter. We were hoping that Walter Berrien will call in and join our conversation. But anyway, we do hear from the mass media that we're bankrupt, and yet we keep lending money to all these countries. But they never mention that the country that gets most of our money is Israel. But Anyway, so is that a fact? Are we bankrupt, or are they just telling us these bad things just to justify the fact that we're not spending any money on our own infrastructure and the things that we should be spending money on?
Yeah, that's about the story of it. It is indeed a grand lie. It is a grand scheme, because really what they do is, again, it's a really simple concept. They're just showing you the amount of taxes that are collected and the amount of taxes or tax money that is spent. And that's really the game, because that's really all they have to do. Now, they have these comprehensive annual financial reports, which we've talked about before, that show all of the financial status of government. And that's, you know, if you're savvy enough to figure out how to read these things, you'll see that there is no government out there, you know, that is indeed bankrupt. In fact, I pulled up one report from the city of Aurora, Colorado, mm-hmm. just because a friend of mine wanted me to pull it up and go through it. And so I went through it, and there were three funds in particular that are not reported to the taxpayer. There was the Gulf Fund, which you'll find is very common, where they'll keep money in millions of dollars in a fund to, you know, according to them, to help to preserve and repair and purchase future land for golf courses. Then they had the sewer water fund, in other words, the dark water fund, and that had a certain amount in it. And then they had the clean water, or just water fund. So right there, it's just three funds that the city of Aurora, Colorado, I know it's kind of a random city, but, you know, just the city government there has, the municipality, and those totals just in the water fund was $944 million just sitting there in that fund being invested, being used for things other than helping the people or investing in their local economy. The water, the Gulf Fund had about $435 million in that fund, and the sewage fund had, I think it was $235 million. And then their pension fund, because each city generally has pension funds, was up to $230-something million as well. So just right there, we see over, you know, it's about $1.8 billion in investments, monies, and other things. And that's just from the funds. You know, that's just from actually four funds. There's all kinds of other funds. There's the general fund. There's you know, some cities have 20 to 30 funds that can be anything from just construction to future projects to infrastructure beautification to, I mean, it's just ridiculous what these governments are holding in funds. Now, that is not accounted for. When they say that they're going bankrupt, again, they're only talking about the taxpayer money that is being brought in for that particular year and the taxpayer money that is being spent for that particular year, which you'll find is always more than what they're collecting. That way they can just justify their budget. Now, you also find that governments in the last 5-6 years across the board, some of them have increased their budgets by over $1, $2, or $3 billion. You know, and in a 5-year time, that's a massive, massive increase. So, you know, often when they talk about bankruptcy, they're not telling you that they've increased their budget by that much, which is absolutely ridiculous when you think about how much money that is for just 1 year increase. I mean, it's an astounding amount of money. So no, every report that I've looked at, every pension fund that I've looked at, are making humongous profits. So they're absolutely not. There is no bankruptcy in progress.
Okay, so where does all the money in these funds come from? Do they come from investments into major Fortune 500 companies?
Well, you have to understand that you know, a lot of people get confused when I say there's 26 or so trillion dollars in pension funds that are invested in the market and securities and all these other things. People say, well, the whole stock market isn't even worth that much. Well, that's because a lot of these investments are invested in other things. They're invested in foreign currencies big time. They're invested in real estate. You could pull up the holdings report for certain governments across the nation, especially pension funds, and you will find that chances are the buildings, you know, on your neighborhood, the houses and the apartment buildings are owned by government. Because they invest in anything from malls to bowling alleys to golf courses to any other type of enterprise operations that they see fit, anything that's profitable. A government, just to give you an example of what I mean by profitable, picture, you know, you wherever you live right now, picture the closest park near you. Now, it could just be a park with no, you know, parking lot. It could just be sitting there, just this beautiful little patch of land that you can take your dog to. Well, in Salt Lake City here, Salt Lake County, they're going to get rid of about 20 or so of those types of parks because they are, quote, unquote, unprofitable. So that's what we're dealing with is all of the infrastructure that's there for the benefit of the people that is not taking money from the people are slowly being gobbled up, and either, you know, the land is sold off to make, you know, investment properties or other types of things. They float a bond and turn the land into a mall. It could be anything. So the important part to understand is that everything in government is business. It's very important that everything to them is making some sort of taxpayer money. The money that you're talking about that's in these funds is, I mean, how do we explain that all money in government should absolutely be considered the people's money? If we're talking about a constitutional republic, representative type of government, but that's not what we're talking about. You see, we've got a corporation or a series of multiple, you know, hundreds of thousands of corporations that are our government, and they are not bound by such things as a republic form of government or a constitutional boundaries, because a corporation is not bound by an oath to the Constitution. It's as simple as that.
Now, when you talk about a republic government, a republic form of government, you're talking about a republican form of government, correct?
Well, the word republican and democrat has been so skewed. Same with the words liberal and conservative, where liberal means actually the old school, you know, Aristotle type of Greek free thinking. Basically, liberal means to be a free thinker. To have a liberal education is to know the liberal arts, which is logic, rhetoric, grammar, mathematics, the kind of education that only Ivy League schools are giving. So the type of education that our politicians are receiving is the classical liberal education. That's one of the things that this Democrat, Republican / liberal conservative. If you're a conservative, you are literally, if you break that word apart, because, you know, a lot of us libertarian and Republican type of mindset people out there that are in the liberty movement, actually, you know, they say, well we're conservative. Well, what is conservative? Let's break it up. To be a conservative means that you want to conserve the current status quo system of government. Now, I don't know many people out there who are listening to your show that are happy with the status quo of government. Strangely enough, we're all, the ones that do call themselves Republicans and the ones that do call themselves Democrats are affiliating with an incorporated association. In other words, a corporation that's called a political party. Well, guess what? All corporations are there to make a profit. So you're part, if you're part of the Republican Party, you can find that on the, you know about Dun and Bradstreet, correct?
Sure.
So, I mean, you can look up the Republican Party.
We have to break for a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Welcome back, friends. My guest today is Clint Richardson, and you were talking about the Dun & Bradstreet, weren't you? Or no, you were talking about...
Yes, ma'am. Fact, okay. I've got some corporations pulled up that I'd like to share with you, if you don't mind.
Yes, please do.
If you look at Dun & Bradstreet, spelled how it sounds, you know, D-U-N and Bradstreet, this is where you go to look for... corporations. It tells you their financial status, whether they're delinquent on things. It's got a lot of information that you have to pay for this information, but let's just go through a couple of the corporations that are listed on Dun & Bradstreet, and everything that's listed is a corporation. I just get a kick out of this. The Executive Office of the President, located at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Northwest, Washington, D.C., Next is the Office of National Drug Control Policy, which below it actually states that it's also traded on the stock market as Executive Office of the President. And that's at 750 17th Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C. Okay, I can go down the list of just every government office in here. Executive Office of the United States Government, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. These are private corporations. You've got the trustees, Executive Office for the U.S., okay? Executive Office for the U.S. Trustees. Now, if you're a trustee of something, that means you're in charge of the trust account of the United States. They're located at 20 Massachusetts Avenue, Washington, D.C. Now it gets really interesting because Now we go to, one more. The Executive Office for United States Attorneys. This is very important because this executive office, where they all take the bar, is located outside of the United States in Washington, D.C., 600 East Street, Northwest, Suite 8302, Washington, D.C., the Executive Office for United States Attorneys. All right? So realizing that attorneys are a big corporate structure that work for the court and are not there to represent you except in the capacity to ensure the continuity and, correct UCC proceedings of the court is very important. You see where they're incorporated. Now, this is where it gets really interesting because these were all headquarters. In other words, the main corporate structure of each of these individual corporations or associations. Now we get into some of the branches, kind of like a bank has branches. We have the Executive Office of the State of Indiana. Where is it located? You think it would be located in Indiana, correct? Maybe at the Capitol Building, but no. It's located at 1455 Pennsylvania Avenue, Northwest, Suite 1140, Washington, D.C. Executive Office of the State of Idaho, 44 North Capitol Street, Northwest, Suite 216, Washington, D.C. Executive Office of the State of Utah, Executive Office of the Governor of Delaware, all at 444 North Capitol Street. Okay? So every state has its executive office. Its executive main corporate office is not in the state, but it's in Washington, D.C. So I don't know what else to do to prove to people, I get arguments all the time that, well, the United States is not a corporation, but here it is, right on the main, website, Dun & Bradstreet. You have to pay for the information, but you go and you look for yourself. You see that governments are a corporation, all of them. And there's thousands upon thousands upon thousands in Washington, D.C.
You mentioned the bar. Every attorney must pass the bar in order to practice in the United States, correct?
Well, there's different bars, but the main bar that we're talking about, which is basically what everybody takes when they get out of law school, is the Bar Association British, it's actually British Accredited Registry, and it's located in the City of London, the main office. So really, we're talking about a bunch of attorneys, and keep in mind that over 70% of our politicians are, in fact, attorneys, as well as judges. Judges throw on a black muumuu, a robe, and call themselves, they're just attorneys that have been given the authority to be a judge by something other than the people, essentially. So, the Bar Association. Now, you can be accredited with other bars. For instance, the Cherokee Nation, the nation within the United States that belongs to the Cherokee Nation, has its own bar that you can pass, and you can operate, within the court system with a different type of bar. So there are good guys out there who realize that they don't want to take an oath to a foreign country. Through the British Accredited Registry. So,
excuse me. I'd like to get back to this, but how did your little program at the Salt Lake Airport go? Did you do that?
Oh no, I'm still mentally preparing myself, and I've actually got a friend in Colorado who's going to do the same thing, and we're kind of in competition now. The first thing I want to do before I do that, and again, this is challenging the authority of basically every office that's in the airport, because they're all executive-appointed offices.
Right.
And as we know, the executive or the president is not a dictator, so anything that he appoints requires the consent of the people.
Of course. Okay, we're going to go to a station break, and we'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Shocking, terrifying, but very truthful and revealing. Finally, a documentary on the horrifying results of unopposed estrogen. Estrogen dominance. Are we writing our own epitaph? I urge you to go to www.republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the HealthLink America banner and watch the documentary, The Disappearing Male. To my knowledge, this is the first documentary about the threat that unopposed estrogen poses to our survival as a species. It's a real eye-opener. But the documentary gives no solution to the problem. We have the solution. If we don't get the progesterone message to the younger generation, especially the young women, our very survival is in jeopardy. Again, that website is www.republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the HealthLink America banner. After viewing, please visit our website, www.healthlink.com.
Welcome back, friends. My guest today is Clint Richardson. Okay, we were talking about the bar. And we were also, you had mentioned bonds, perhaps not today, but you've mentioned bonds in the past and how people use bonds in order to tax the residents in order to fund a big project. For instance, Karl Rove was early on connected with the Bush family, and he urged George W. Bush to run for the Texas governorship. And he claimed that in order to give himself credibility, that he should invest in something like the Texas Rangers, which would be Bush's 1994 ticket to the big time, and it would give him widespread exposure and credibility because he'd had a series of business failures, and so that is what he did. He borrowed something like $500,000. And then he purchased about 1.8% of the Rangers. And, he had some Harkin stock, which was an oil company that he had invested in. And, he dumped that stock, about a week before Harkin announced that it was going to have an overall loss of $23.2 million. Okay, so he dumped it, he got the money from that, and repaid the $500,000 loan. And he never did tell the Securities and Exchange Commission about this transaction. And after he became a became president, he said, and I quote, corporate officials should not be allowed to secretly trade their company's stock. Every time they buy or sell, they should be required to tell the public within 2 days, unquote. He never did. He never did. But after the this group of people, business partners, got together, then they decided that they needed a new ballpark. And so they thought the best way to do this would be to create kind of a sweetheart deal, a public-private partnership with the city of Arlington for this new state-of-the-art facility and for their ball team. And so they got a referendum passed on November 13th, 1990, calling for the citizens to vote to increase sales tax, like one half cent sales tax. And then they would use that tax to pay for this ballpark, which they did. And the bonds amounted to something like $135 million. But after all was said and done, after they built the ballpark, then the syndicate that he belonged to paid something, some minor amount of money to purchase the ballpark that the taxpayers had actually funded. And then they're the ones that collected on the parking fees. They collected on all the income that the ballpark generated, and yet the taxpayers paid for it. Now, does that relate to
you just described basically what's happening all over America with just about every road, bridge, parking meters. You know, there's a reason that, you know, I was in Cincinnati for a while. We used to have a brilliant stadium called Riverfront Stadium. And it got changed. Now, I don't know if I can remember the name, but I think it got changed to Synergy Stadium because that was the local public-private partnership that invested in it. And, you know, here in Cincinnati, we've got, in Utah now, we've got the Energy Solutions Stadium. Everywhere you go, these stadiums, which used to have these brilliant, you know, relevant names, are now called Sprint or Nextel Stadium or whatever. There's a reason that that's happening. I mean, it's not just an advertising thing. It's because those, like, as you say, with private partnerships, public-private partnerships, PPP, are going in and doing exactly what you just said. And again, that's the entire, you just described, the entire infrastructure of the United States, essentially. And all this is made possible. I go over this in the documentary with the executive order that was made by the first President Bush, the father, in 1992. For 18 years now, the infrastructure in the United States has been for sale to anybody who wants to buy it, whether you're in this country or not. So, yeah, that's exactly, you're exactly accurate. The taxpayers pay for something, and other corporations basically profit. It's called, you basically, it's a game that's played all the time, and the rules are that you nationalize the debt, meaning when you nationalize something, it means you apply the debt evenly over the people through taxation. And it could be 30, 50 years before that's paid off. And then so that's the debt, but then the assets, in other words, the liabilities, but the assets, of course, go to the corporations who funded either its building or who are funding its operation, its continued operation. And in order to acquire their investments back over time, they are given absolute authority, though it's still technically run by government. The corporations that are doing this are the ones that are profiting from, say, the parking meters, or profiting from the tickets, or profiting from the New York, or what was it, the Rangers, was it?
Right,
Texas Rangers?
The Texas Rangers.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
So basically, you've got it figured out right there. That's exactly how it's happening all over the country. So, and another really important thing, there's a paradigm that's going on around the country that needs to be just gotten rid of right now. And that paradigm And that belief is that George Bush is an idiot. Okay? Anybody who thinks that George Bush is an idiot, I've got a little presentation for you. If you go to that blog you mentioned earlier, which is realityblogger.wordpress.com, pull up, go to the past posts and pull up a post called 9/11 and George Bush for Dummies. And I want you to go through each video that's presented and read everything there. And when you finally get to the last video, you're going to see just, I think it was 6 or 4 years before he ran for president, George Bush gave his gubernatorial, debate without any notes, without any,
teleprompter?
Yeah, nothing. Nothing at all. And this guy is probably one of the best orators I've ever heard in my life. Literally, he is one of the best speakers I've ever heard. Now, if you're telling me that in 4 or 6 years that this man turned into a bumbling idiot, when you can watch him between, you know, there's also videos of him between the cameras, between when he's on air, hey, how are you? How's your wife? How's your kids? You know, very, very intelligent, he is not an idiot, people. You are an idiot for thinking he's an idiot. You've been fooled by the media and by this professional actor. They're all actors.
Right. So, you know, his father was the same way. When his father was in charge of the CIA, he knew everybody that he came in contact with at the CIA every day. He knew their families, their children's names, and it was amazing. And it was a psychological kind of a thing. It was, you're ingratiating yourself to people so that when you need them to do something for you, they'll be more cooperative and responsive to your needs.
And
that's how they work. It's some sort of personal leverage that they develop. But you know something else that he did right after he became governor, and I'm trying to find my notes with the details. But immediately he put people onto the board of directors of the college, the university. I can't remember which university it was there in Texas. That person, I believe it was Hicks that he put in charge, could take the teachers' pension funds and put those pension funds into companies that they were allied with. In other words, Hicks and Bush and the same group that invested in the Rangers team then could take the pension funds from the teachers, which was millions and millions of dollars.
Billions.
And put it in companies that they were associated with, like Carlyle Group and some of those other corporations. And so when politicians get into office, that's what they do. They select people who will serve the corporate agenda, the corporate benefit that will enhance their bottom line. And they position people into those top jobs, like on the board of the universities, on the board of certain government corporations, which there are government corporations, in order to grow their pockets, their portfolios.
Well, and this brings us back to the CAFR thing, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. Again, if you're looking at for a reason why that happens, it's so simple when you understand this corporate structure and this report, where you can actually see, you can actually request from each of your governments, whether it be your county, your state, your pension fund especially, you can request the documents that show all investments, usually called a holdings report. You can see, if you start adding these things up, you can see that government has that controlling share in these companies that you're talking about. So naturally, the government is going to make these type of transactions that you're talking about as easy as possible for its investment-owned corporations.
Right.
The private corporations that we're talking about.
Right.
Corporations owning corporations, basically. And so all legislation that comes out of government is essentially You know, there's two reasons for legislation. One is to make the free people less free in order to benefit the corporation, meaning raising taxes, making, you know, requiring police to write more tickets, you know, anything, property tax, different kinds of tax. And then you have legislation that helps the corporations, these Fortune 500 and other corporations that ought to conduct business in a way, both nationally and internationally, in a way that will benefit the portfolio of government. I mean, that is the simple answer to almost every situation where you go, well, why is the government letting this happen? Why is it letting Monsanto do what it's doing? Well, because the head of the person that writes the legislation for that'll help Monsanto and will help GMO food to be a reality works for Monsanto, writes the bill, quits, gets hired by government and as the FDA, passes their own bill, quits the FDA, gets hired back at Monsanto for even more money, and while they're at the FDA, of course, they pass their own bill, and all of a sudden, they go back to Monsanto, they've gotten what they need to, now we have a genetically altered alfalfa and tomatoes and everything else in this country, all grown in China, it turns out. So,
sure.
This is the answer. If you think about the fact that government has controlling stock in these companies, and that the whole purpose of that is to make a profit, you understand why everything that happens in government is happening. It's as simple
right.
as that.
And they do it so incrementally, like the 1.5% sales tax in Texas. I mean, that, you know, you think about that. Oh, that's not much. You know, that's not much. But if you have, you know, 1,000 of those little incidences, when you think of the amount of taxes that we pay tax for just about every activity that we engage in. We
right.
have to pay license taxes. We have to pay property taxes, school taxes, income tax, you know, all kinds of taxes. And all that adds up.
And you're paying for permission to do these things.
Sure.
You know, it's not even benefiting you. It's actually hurting you because it's putting you under contract that says you don't have freedom. You have to have permission to do it.
Right. Clint, your email is clint@caffer1.com, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Somebody asked me. Let's talk about the Bar Association. Now, on January 18, 1810, Senator Philip Reed of Maryland proposed the Title of Nobility Amendment, which was basically came to be known as the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution.
Yes.
And basically what this said is, and I quote, "If any citizen of the United States shall accept, claim, receive, or retain any title of nobility or honor, or shall, without the consent of Congress, accept and retain any present pension, office, or emolument of any kind whatsoever from any emperor, king, prince, or foreign power, such person shall cease to be a citizen of the United States and shall be incapable of holding any office of trust or profit under them or either of them," unquote. In other words, if you are a member of the British Bar, you are actually in a position, you are serving a foreign nation, which you already mentioned. Okay, so this was an amendment, and it was passed, it was ratified by the majority of the states in 1810. Okay? So basically, every single sitting member of Congress who is an attorney is serving not this country, but they are serving the corporation.
Right, right, right.
Right.
Now, interesting about that, it was ratified. It was written in the, you know, the most important thing about these bills is that they're the notes that are taken along with the bill. So if you read the actual congressional, I can't
records.
Remember what it's called, but the record that's taken. The congressional diary, essentially, it shows the voting, what happened, and it shows that the votes were insufficient from all states at that time to ratify the 13th Amendment. Suddenly, it's replaced, you know, in the Lincoln presidency with the all of a sudden slavery becomes the 13th Amendment,
right?
And it's magically gone. Now, important to know here, because a lot of people don't know this. There is also the title of nobility clause that's in Article 1, Section 9 of the Constitution. Okay, and it forbids. Well, I'll just read it from a site here. It says it forbids the United States from granting titles of nobility and restricts members of the government from receiving gifts from foreign states without the consent of the United States Congress. That's basically the same thing, but people for some reason don't use this. It's sometimes called the Federal Nobility Clause. And then Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1, bars the states rather than the federal government from granting titles of nobility. So it's actually in the Constitution as well.
Okay, we have to take a break, and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
The Perculite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Perculite, with its exclusive black Perky filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Perculite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Perculite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Welcome back, friends. My guest today is Clint Richardson, the producer and writer of The Corporation Nation. His email is clint@kafr1.com. That's C-A-F-R, the numeral 1.com. clint@kafr1.com. The website is thecorporationnation.com and realityblogger.wordpress.com, and blogger is spelled with one G. Clint, are you with me? Or are
yes,
you
talking? I am.
Okay, so are we going to have anybody join us?
Yeah, I just called Walter. He said he'd call back. So.
Oh, good. Great.
Yeah, I'm happy about that too, because you know he's the man on this stuff. I'm a talking head when you know compared to him. You guys got questions. In fact, I would recommend you know if people have questions, you should open up the phones to this guy because
let's do that after the top of the hour break then.
Okay.
Super. Okay. Okay. We were talking about the 13th Amendment. We were talking about the Nobility Clause in the Constitution. But basically what it is that, the people who are serving in Congress, who are members of the bar, are basically serving, the corporate agenda. And according to the original 13th Amendment, they're not supposed to be doing that. That amendment was ratified by the majority of the states. And the thing that happened during the War of 1812 is that many of the documents that were imperative to the freedom of this country were destroyed, and that was partially the reason why the British came over here and burned so many of our libraries and the White House and a lot of other things, is because they wanted to destroy what was left of the Republican form of government. And that's why they did the war. It wasn't
absolutely.
It wasn't just one thing. It was many things.
All right. Well, hey, listen.
We have Walter.
What's up,
Walter? Are you there?
Yeah. Good afternoon.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We are just going to the top of the hour break, and after we come back, we're going to open the phone line so that people can ask you questions. And we'll have a very good discussion. How's that?
Sounds good. And do I have a minute right now?
Yes. Yes.
I was listening to Clint for about 20 minutes before I checked in, and he was doing an excellent job. I'm proud of him. He's got the comprehension. He's got the focus. On the aspect of government controlling and owning the majority of the investment capital, between the corporations, banks, insurance companies, and so forth, there's one analogy that explains what happened. You know, going back into the 40s, the big boys, you know, the Rockefellers, Rothschilds, the, you know, big corporations, they always knew government was what money was. So by going on to the annual financial reporting and accounting structure of CAFR, they were able to, by consult, okay, create phenomenal wealth for government. And as the wealth built up, they knew that by consult, they could direct those government investment funds into their corporations, their projects, their financial structures to guarantee themselves success. Okay? And the one way you control government is to make government give them the largest percentage of the pie. So by doing what they do, government is pulling in, you know, 70% of the profit, but that other 30% going to the banks, brokerage houses, insurance companies, doing Fortune 500 corporations, is substantially larger than they would get if they didn't have the full cooperation of government as a symbiotic partner.
Okay, great. We are going to the top of the hour break and a station ID. We'll be back in just a moment.
The next round.